Hello, welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm your host, Allie, mom of five, and today I have a very special guest, Manny, who is a foster dad on a mission on social media, and we are very excited to have you on and share your foster dad experience. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to come. This is absolutely an honor and a pleasure. Allie, I appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we were just, it was funny because we were just talking about how I found him, and I don't know if anyone's familiar with some of the bro rooms, but they're like a way to kind of expand your TikTok following. You own a jewelry store? Is that what you?
So we, it's a jewelry business. Yes. That I am connected with as well.
That is so awesome. So you're very busy.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
So can you share a little bit about your journey into foster parenting and like what has motivated you to become a foster dad?
Pretty good question. I appreciate that. It actually starts from my journey as being a foster kid. I personally myself grew up in foster care since I was three. I went through quite a few horrible homes in my life and things that I never ever would want a kid to experience ever. I feel like the system back then was really, really horrible and didn't have all the things put together. And I wanted to be part of a change for what I could do for the future. So I always knew I wanted to be a foster parent because I always wanted to try to provide kids like me the opportunity that I never did receive personally. So that's what really always wanted me to start with becoming a foster parent. Now, it's crazy how my journey officially started because I first became kinship, which is somebody that's related to you, you taking their kids. So I started with a sibling. One of my siblings' kids were taken away, and then I got them, and it was a group of five. And then 2 weeks later, another one of my sister's kids did, and that was a group of seven. And I had 12 kids, officially 11, for about a year and a half. And that started my kinship journey into fostering, then eventually transitioning into foster care.
Wow. And it sounds like, I mean, that's a lot of kids.
It was yeah. Crazy, you know, needing to have a schedule. We had a schedule. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, I love that you set a schedule up for them.
Well, the age ranges were from age 6 to 18. So we had to do that. They all went to three different schools and they were at different times. It was absolutely insane. But what was really cool is the schedules actually ended up being perfect from youngest to oldest when they started school and when they got out of school. So it was like so easy to pick up, drop off, and all that. So it ended up being a huge blessing.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I know how complicated I've experienced that too, going to three different schools. I guess, yeah, four different schools right now is what I'm driving my kids to.
And that's a brave soul right there.
So I totally understand experience, but I really love what you said as far as giving them a home like you didn't receive and giving them a positive experience. So I love that, where your heart is with that. So I love that you shared too, like your background. So is there anything else like in your previous experiences or something that you felt challenging as a foster dad?
Many different challenges as a foster dad. When there's different levels on when you can choose, you know, like people are like, oh, I want babies. I want, you know, 10 to 12. Well, I choose teenagers.
I love teenagers too, actually.
And I love teenagers and I choose teenagers. And it's definitely one of those things that it's like, what am I going to get myself into? How are things going to go? You know, you're working with a teen who's practically already lived a very tough life already. And then here comes me coming in and saying, oh, I'm going to make a difference in your life. And how it sounds easy, but it's not. And I would say one of the most difficult things is being able to gain the trust of that youngster and being able to help them realize that you're not going anywhere and no matter what they throw at you, you know, but, and they've heard that. The whole thing is they've heard those types of things before and that they've been giving up on. But I'm one of the parents that will stick through you through thick and thin. Doesn't make a difference. You catch a court case, I'm with you. You know, we go to the hospital for mental health things, I'm with you. It doesn't make a difference. You break things in my home, I'm with you. I had to take the realization that it's not against me, but it's against their life experience versus me directly. Even though they may affect a lot of my things, but things are just materialistic compared to a beautiful young soul.
And I love that you share that too about not taking it personally, because, you know, kind of that sounds like a lot of learned behavior. So they have learned how to do these things. This is how they've learned to adjust to the world based on like the different like environments that they've been in, their personal experiences. So I love that you're not taking any of that personally, even with, you know, some biological parents too. It's just, you know, I think too, it's just like the things that kids do that they take very personally sometimes. So I love that you're addressing that it's not you, but you're there for their support. So that's fantastic. And I think that sounds exactly what they need.
Absolutely. And I can't say I'm perfect at that, because there are times that sometimes you're going to be like, wait, what did I do? Or why did I, or, you know, it goes back into your mind and it makes you think of like, wow, that hurt. But then you had to say like, oh, well, there's this training I took one time. It's a TBRI training. And the biggest question was, it's what's the reasoning behind the behavior? If you can ask that towards any situation that you ever kind of go through in life, what's the reasoning behind the behavior? Then it'll really give you an understanding of like where they're coming from and what's affecting them. And then you can realize not to take it personal versus like, I know you may get hit with it at first personally, but then you can realize and analyze the situation and realize, well, that isn't me. That is them working through and figuring out things because they've never had the safe place to do it.
Right. Yeah. And that's great. And you're right too. Like there is that human side of things where it's just like, you know, there's times both personally and I'm not great about having like, you know, professional, like I am professional, but just having my work life and my home life kind of blend together. So it's like, I can't take the analyst part out of me and what I do and your behavior. And they're like, no, like, but I love that human side too, because there's times where I've just had to walk away and kind of from a situation just to reevaluate myself and how I'm feeling, because sometimes we definitely can get emotionally invested and just kind of just realizing and coming from like a different perspective too.
Absolutely.
But that training sounds great.
It is actually the best training. I think that actually really changed my mindset to like really hone in to, but then we have to go back and remind ourselves. Oh, go back to that, because it is a training process for yourself. Also, since I never had it before then. So like you get to continuously educate yourself and reminding yourself over and over again how you need to make sure you react, how you need to respond in a proper manner and not let it be in a trigger aspect for them.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. But yeah, that's a great perspective. I think that's a great training. I like how it's a training for foster parents, but really a training for all parents.
I would agree.
But I think that's fantastic. So what strategies, and you've kind of shared a little bit about that, but as far as building that trust and rapport with children, what's one way that you use to kind of build that rapport?
It varies by each child individually, right? Because, you know, there's not like one book that says this is how you're going to work with this child. It's really just listening. That is a huge thing. I can't tell you how many times our teens are used to everybody just telling them what they get to do, what they have to do, what they get to do in this. But honestly, when you sit back and you really do listen and pay attention to them, and I don't have a lot of rules when a kid first comes into my home, because I don't know what rules they're willing to test and where their strengths are withholding, where their things are. So I'm not going to slam them. I have easy basic for my ones. I do. Easy basic rule is you need to respect yourself and everybody within our home. And then you just got to take care of your daily duties, shower hygiene, all those type of things. But like, I like to get to know who they are. So it's like allowing them to kind of show themselves and then have no reaction to mean reaction, vicious reaction. Say they did something that was horrible, right? I'll give one of the biggest ones. My kids love to ditch. How many kids don't like to go to school, right? Most parents would be fierce about that and those type of things. But I ask them, hey, why are you ditching? You know that's wrong and you shouldn't be doing that. No. Hey, like, what is it? Are you not like the class? Do you not like the teacher? Is there a student in there? Like, getting down to the basis for it and then allowing them to talk, like, You'd be surprised on what they what is what bothers to see what bothers them. And that's when you just get to hone in and just be attentive to them. But each kid is separate, each kid is different. You're gonna take a different approach. That's why educating yourself is so important to be able to understand different type of methods. Some kids are intellectually intelligent. Some kids are visually intelligent. Some people do things by writing or drawing, artistic. There's all these different things that me as a foster parent has to be ready to adapt to and then be able to speak that language to be able to communicate with them.
Yeah, that is such a great strategy. And it's very similar to kind of how we start off in ABA too. So we call it like it's rapport building essentially, but pairing ourselves. So pairing us with things that they like us be kind of coming that reinforcer. But a big part of that is not placing a lot of demands on them. So nobody wants to come into a home where it's like, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that because you're not going to build a lot of rapport that way. So I really like that you said that. And it's not that you aren't establishing rules, but you're kind of giving them the opportunity and to kind of figure out them to figure out you and just kind of
Absolutely.
that. So I love that.
Absolutely. It's more trying to approach it from the offensive side instead of
Right.
creating a defensive
Yeah.
interception. Like, what is it? Like, oh, I have 20 rules you have to follow as soon as you walk in my home. You never met me before, but this is what you got to
Yeah.
do.
Right.
I mean, that creates already a offense defense when it needs to be nothing here and allowing whatever to be receptive for that offense. Reading the playing field and then being able to shoot your shot and go further.
Exactly. And then it just becomes too like a power struggle, which I think a lot of kids are familiar with. It's like, I'm the adult, you listen to me, you respect me. And it's like, okay, but why should I respect you? So having that respect on both ends. So I love that approach that you're doing that in your home. How do you find time to care for yourself with all of these children that you're
I
fostering?
love that question. That is good. I love it. It is important to take care of yourself because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of them. I schedule it. I put it in my schedule. And if I have to, and the best thing is my communication with what I have for my self-care. So I play volleyball. I do it one day a week, 4 hours throughout that week. That is one of my, you got to find what those are. So volleyball is one of them. The other one I do is I do my jewelry business, which honestly, it sounds weird because it's like my business, but it's actually, I love it because it's my community who really surrounds me and really like embraces me and my journey of what I do with my kids. They don't get any of my information for my kids. They get the bare basics of what I could share like to anybody. But they, like I had two kids graduate this year, th this last week. I had one
Yay.
graduate yesterday, one graduate a week ago.
That's
And so like just cr having those experiences with the people who I enjoy being with is a huge one. And I don't consider it work. I just consider it like hanging out with my peeps and showing off some jewelry. And then massages. I go and give myself a massage, mani, pedi. It's scheduled every single month. I do that just for myself. So this is weird. So my routine is I go get my haircut done. Then I go get my mani and pedi done. And then the same lady, Miss Nancy, she does my eyebrows for me. And after that, I go and I do an hour massage. So you have to make time, right? Because there's always things. It's so funny is we are quick to pick up our phone and spend very endless times on our phone when we could have created that one time for yourself, separate from like that social media or things like that. So it's really scheduling it and keeping yourself honest and true to it. Because you deserve it, especially for everything that you do.
Yeah. And I think that's true to remind ourselves that we kind of, that we do deserve it too. And I think I just go back to that, putting your oxygen mask on first. Like when you're an airplane, you put your mask on first before you can help somebody else. You have to take care of yourself. So I really like that you address that. But I need a Miss Nancy in my life
I love Miss
because I'm
Nancy.
telling you, I have to scatter around and try to find somebody. I'm like, can you squeeze me in? Because it's very last minute half the time, but I need somebody to do that for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, just get it scheduled. Get it scheduled. I know it's hard, tough, but like, what do? And you have to safeguard that self time. You have to safeguard it. No, this is the day. And that's why I created it once a month. That deal is once a month. Nobody's going to touch this day. It's normally the 23rd or 25th, depending on what day it falls on, the 23rd or 25th. But don't let nobody touch that. That's where you got to safe keep your time for yourself.
No, that's great. And I think that's exactly what I need to do because something I've been working on myself is more self-care, doing more things for me, which I will be honest with you. I have not been the best at, and I think, there's a lot of parents that that's not a priority because we all think that we need to save the world first. We gotta
Right.
do everything for our kids. We gotta, help everybody we can, and then it's like we save ourselves for last. So, I need to do that too. So I like that you have a scheduled time and that nobody can touch it. That's perfect.
Absolutely.
Can you describe a time when you had to advocate for your child's needs?
All the time. I work with teenagers. I've only had one who was not ever like scared, timid to speak their voice, but every other kid, because of everything they've gone through, feel like they don't have a voice. And the new laws that have passed, especially like here in Colorado, gives our kids a voice now above the age of 12, And so anybody who's in the system here in Colorado, 12 and above, they have a voice now and they get to speak that voice. But sometimes they don't know what they get to speak about or what they have control over. And they actually have a lot of control. It's just the system never tends to explain it to them because if they realize it, then how much like they're gonna like consider the oh, they're power hungry. No, that's their rights. That's their ability, what they should be able to do. And you're afraid because they're gonna advocate for themselves and are gonna do it. But literally, I mean, it's like literally 95% of my kids I've had to advocate for with funds for assistance with like driving school, or they can change their GALs, they can change their lawyers, they can change other caseworkers if they're not a good fit for them. Like they don't realize that. They feel like they've been stuck with the same caseworker who they've hate and can't stand. And I was like, well, change your caseworker. I could do that. Yeah, you could do that. Well, how do I do that? You let the judge know. You say, I'm sorry, pinpoint, and then I teach them. When you're going to go into court, this is what happened. This is how they didn't advocate for you. This is what they didn't do for you. This is what they didn't do for you. These are the reasons why you would like a new caseworker. Or this is the new reason. This is the reason. I have kids, most of my kids, like teenagers that I work with, I try to get them to realize what they can gain with
Right.
this system while they're in a system, and whether they're returning back, because we're always about trying to return back home. That is our number one goal. But I tend to work with kids who will never go back with their parents. So I have to have a different transition set of mindsets to work with my kids and preserving their everlasting life into this world. So it's teaching them to get those things going for themselves.
And that's great too. And I think that's probably true. They don't realize like what they can ask for and what they can't ask for. So it's really great that they have someone like you who can advocate for them.
Absolutely.
So what are some significant lessons you've learned about behavior and parenting through your experience as a foster dad?
Let me take it from like my point of view,
Okay.
my perspective. Like for me, I understand that you're a parent, but you're not always right. That is a huge thing to be able to admit to your kid when you're wrong. I'm going to tell you that ties into the aspect of gaining trust with your kids. And if you said you were going to take them to go do something and you missed it or anything like that, acknowledge it, apologize, communicate with them. It's not all that authority, I'm all and be all. It's a give and take. And so I would say that's more my perspective with like that as a whole. So I don't know if that makes any sense or not,
No,
but.
that makes complete sense too, and that you are able to humble yourself because I'll just tell you from experience. And too, when I first, so my son is 17, so he'll graduate next year. My
Yay!
oldest son, yeah, but then I have a baby too. It's like I have all
You got the
yeah,
whole
to start
spectrum
over,
there.
right? So I get to start all over. That's fun for me. But one thing too is when I had him, it was like I didn't know what I know now. And I think I was 19. I had a lot of just, I wasn't ready to just kind of be like, oh, I messed up. Because I wasn't sure that's what I was supposed to do because I was raised in a way that, I'm the parent, like this is what you have to do, like do what I say, that kind of perspective.
Right,
I was
absolutely.
like, I can't be wrong, even if I am wrong. But now I've come like probably when he was about 8 or so, I started realizing that I needed to change my parenting style. And I started just being like, I'm sorry, like I didn't do this right. So I don't know if I messed up like his early years really bad by not humbling myself, but I hope that we have a great relationship now. So, but I think that's a
Right.
good way to start off and just humble yourself too, because we're human. We make mistakes all the time. Even, professionally too. Like, I mean, we're, we do the best we can.
Absolutely, all the way, 100%. I would say like that to take it from like any perspective is if you're wrong, say you're
Okay.
wrong. It's
Yeah.
okay to be wrong. It's okay. What happens, I feel, is when we take that we're right, we never give ourselves the opportunity to even educate ourselves further. So, because you're not right all the time.
Yeah. And it's a learning experience too. So you either take the learning
Exactly.
experience or otherwise you're not giving yourself room to grow. So, but yeah, I really love that you share that too, because I think that's so important as, a parent, just as a person, to just admit like, I messed up.
It's a tough thing to do. It's a tough pill
Ooh.
to swallow, like for
Yeah, and
sure.
they model our behavior too. So if we're
Exactly.
expecting them to admit when they did something wrong, then we have to model that behavior too.
Absolutely. I even had that experience the other day with one of my kids. He ended up screaming at me, and literally, like seconds later, he knew right away, I'm sorry. I wish I'm so sorry. Then we stayed quiet because we're coming. I picked him up from work, stayed quiet for about 5 minutes, and then he went to talking as normal and try to change that perspective. But I'll be honest with you, when I first got him, I would have never had that. I'm sorry. But I think it's with that genuine aspect of like, yo, I'm real. I messed up. I'm sorry. I ain't gonna
Right.
sugarcoat it. But I think that helps him to be able to realize he doesn't have to be on the defense and he could be wrong. And that's okay. And I don't, in those aspects. So it works both ways. And against that, you said that modeling our behavior. Exactly. We want our kids to do, it's so funny is how are your kids acting? And then turn around and say, how are you acting? And do a
Right.
self-evaluation because I guarantee they're acting like how you're acting because you think you're almighty and know everything.
And that's what they're going to get too. So it's
Exactly.
that do as I say and not what I do. That doesn't
That
work.
don't work.
They're going to do what you do.
Right.
So how do you handle it when there are setbacks or challenges, particular behavior, and what kind of like behavior strategies do you use?
Good question. With any setback or whatever it is, I acknowledge the situation. And then we brainstorm. Honestly, it's like, I don't really have any crazy techniques. It's the reality of like, all right, this is what happened. There, what, and I bring it back to this is what your choices were. This is what you did choose. And then how do you want to move forward with this choice and this choice? A lot of our kids, when they're learning and developing, they want to have. So you want to kind of set out pathways for them so that they can be side by side. And it's okay if they intertwine or cross over, but it gives them an option to, hey, you want to, I was thinking about doing it this way and I realized I don't think I could do that, but I know we talked about this way. So it's creating pathways and wavelengths, but heading in the same direction so then they can utilize or adapt and see which is best for them. So really acknowledging the situation, being upfront about it, dealing with consequences. Because those choices you make are going to come with consequences. I'll say one of these things is funny as one of them decided to break their laptop from school. Okay. But the whole funny thing is because of where we have already started to grow in our relationship, he literally, after he broke it, sent me a picture of it and said, I'm sorry. And he said, well, I said, let's talk about it when you get at home. Don't try to do anything over text. Be in person, make it personable. That's a huge thing. Text words, they don't know your tone, they don't know your understanding, they don't know your expressions. A lot of kids need that. They need to like, well, are they really mad at me? Are they not really mad at me? So they gotta feel that. And their energy, they're based off of energy with that. So providing that up front, then saying, all right, so what are we gonna do here? Because I'm not gonna pay for that. That can come out of your allowance. We can make a budget for it. And then we can, he has his own debit card. So he has to go in the office every month. He has to put that money towards his computer. And he knows he's got until he graduates to pay it off. And so, but we deal with it. It's give him options, deal with it. And he goes, well, I got a job now, so I'm going to pay it off quick. Did I even say anything on that? No. Did he realize he knew he wanted to take care of something really fast? When you give him that time and that option, it allows that opportunity for them to learn.
No, I love that approach too. It just sounds kind of like the natural consequence, right? So like if we break something, we usually have to pay for it, right? So it's, I
Absolutely.
think that's a great way to kind of approach it. Like just what would pair with that? Like what would be the natural consequence for that? I really like that behavior strategy. I know for us, kind of like in the behavior world, there's consequences for every behavior, whether it's good or bad. So if you do something, get like rewarded in some way, or if it's something, you say like a maladaptive behavior, then like breaking a laptop, then what are kind of the consequences for that? And then how do we find a replacement skill? So instead of breaking a laptop, what can you do instead? I love that you're kind of just taking that natural approach and like a realistic like expectations for them. So
Absolutely.
that's
I think one
great.
of my biggest things, especially when you're dealing with a kid that you don't know, I ask them, what do you think your consequence should be?
I like that.
You're normally going to get, I don't know.
Yep.
And so then I said, well, what are the things that you love that you feel like the thing you love to do the most that you feel that is hard for you to be away from? And think if that should be the consequence that you want against things that you do wrong. And he goes, well, because then he started saying, well, I shouldn't see my girlfriend. I was like, for how long? Well, I don't know. I mean, I love my girlfriend, And I'm like, so, okay. But then it makes them think about the things they really, it's like, it's given them that, like, okay, well, you put it back in their place, in their spot. You recommended that if you need to have consequences, that not seeing your girlfriend is one of them. And that is somebody you enjoy being around, right? So it's given them, well, yeah. And then they'll think twice about wanting to do that bad reaction because they know they're going to lose the thing that they want the most. But they're the ones who chose to put it up front. They're the ones who chose to give you that was an option. So kind of give it back to them to let them feed into what they should feel that those consequences should be.
Yeah. No, that's such a great idea too, is kind of just let them because you're putting more thought into the consequence versus just this is your consequence and this is what happened. So I like how everything with you seems to be a conversation. And it's not just one-sided. So that part I think is a very beautiful thing. What advice would you give other parents who are considering becoming foster parents?
Get teenagers. No.
Should they start with teenagers?
Oh my goodness, we really do need parents for teens. They really are amazing. The reality is this is tough. It is not easy. You're putting your life, you're putting your family on the line for something that's uncertain. It's one of the toughest things in the whole wide world to ever do. Oof, I'm tired. A lot of my why comes from my sister who's passed away. And her name is Bernadette Rose Padilla. And she was one of your toughest teens that we've ever grown, and us going through our system. And she's probably why we got moved from home to home to home to home. All they want is somebody to genuinely love them, genuinely care about them, genuinely. And I say that with the aspect because a lot of people have a lot of say so, and these kids will fight against you. But the best part is when you're able to have enough education behind you to be able to overcome their fight, their battle, their push away, their
Right.
guard, their not wanting to be attached, their part of saying that I know nobody loves me in this world and they don't want me. You really don't want me. You really don't care for me. When you change that perspective for them, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It is huge. Is it easy? No. Is it tough? Yes. But the reward of gaining that satisfaction for the world, right? It's like that, what's that analogy? Drop a pebble into a lake or river, whatever. And when you start with one, they connect and go, 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 and it spreads even more and more. So, how do you want to make a difference today? How do you want to make a difference for our future? And it could start with just one of these kids.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. It's beautiful. Now I'm just like, should I like look up? Maybe I'll wait till one of mine graduates first. But I think it's very admirable what you're doing and just making a difference. You're right, that's our future and just making the difference in the life of these teens. Like it's incredible. What are some most rewarding moments you've experienced as a foster dad?
It's been, I could say a few. I'm connected still to every single one of my 19 kids I've ever had. So, 19 kids in 8 years. Some are in good places, some are in tough places, but they can call me no matter what. And I always pray that I can be that dependable person for them. But to see them graduate, a few of them, it caught me off guard when I always respect our boundary of our relationship. I am a foster parent. I'm not their dad. I'm not their biological parent. Who warms my heart is eventually, if you've done kind of the right things and you've maybe filled a need of being introduced that, hey, this is my dad, you guys. So that is like my heart. That is like, and I don't expect it. I never do. And I never force and never anything. But I'll tell you this. There hasn't been one of my kids by the time they've left that I have not been introduced as dad. And it means the world to me because, I mean, I'll never have kids myself personally because I feel that there's such a need that we can take care of the kids that we have in this world today. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. So
what an impact you have too, that they all call you dad. Like, just, that's amazing. That's
pretty
just
neat.
That just says like how much of an influence that you've been in their life and that you have connections to all of them. That's incredible. So you're definitely, it shows, you know, that you're doing a great job. That's great.
Absolutely. Well, it's crazy, you know.
So sweet.
And there's sometimes that we even get, we'll do like a crazy party pizza. So this is hilarious, right? So when all the boys come over, there's like seven of them. Man, we have each, they have their own individual TV and then they have their own Xbox or PS5. And they're like all like Fortnite or whatever. They're screaming. We got three upstairs, three downstairs. We got pizza going. We got games going. The girls are over here on a movie night in the other room. And, you know, like it's just, it's fulfilling, but I'll tell you the journey it took to get there. Ooh, but the reality of when it comes back together again, it's impeccable.
And I'll tell you, just from like an ABA perspective, that's a lot of people I think go into the field is just seeing that impact, seeing the difference because, you know, not that I've had, I'm sure there's more challenging too, but just some of like the most challenging or some of the most challenging behaviors and kind of coming in and being like, wow, like look at this difference that this kid is making. So this is where they started, you know, they didn't trust anyone, you know, they're like, I will just tell you, like smearing poop on the walls or like you just
no,
you know
it, just I didn't want to go into that yeah. bad, but it is like
know,
that
there's some tough stuff, you know, like depression, SIB, all of those things. Like, and then people go in the field and I say, well, you know, why do you do this? Like, you put up with this. And I'm like, because reward is so worth it.
Because when they can learn something different, I'm not kidding you. Like, I had a kid who loved to break everything. So funny. So this was my first time ever learning. It was one of my first set of kids. When I traveled when I was younger, I would collect a mug, coffee mug, from every city I tried to visit, like any big city I visited. And so I had like a good like 72 mugs. He broke them all.
Okay.
He broke them all. He goes, you love these? I was like, yeah, I love those. He goes, woo. And I was like, I put on a poker face. I did not even, I cried later in right. my room. But the reality was, I couldn't let him know that that hurt me like that. The whole thing, and it's not saying don't show your vulnerable side, but what it is saying is they want a reaction from you. They want to make sure they hurt you. And that's like the fight towards it. But then again, what's the reasoning behind the behavior? And why did they do that?
Exactly.
They've been hurt so much. We have to see it from their perspective. They've had their life torn apart. They were taken away from their parents. They were taken away, probably away from their siblings. I mean, I'm a sibling group of 23 brothers and sisters, and I only got to grow up with four of them. And then we got split up and it was just two of us. And then it went to just me by myself, then two of us, then four of us. Who would you want to, how do you want them to control or understand that? They right. have no say-so in what's happening with their lives.
Yeah, they want some kind of control over
control.
Their life.
All right. the way.
Yep. And yeah, and honestly, you're right. You're absolutely right about the reaction, too. And that's a lot of what I do sometimes, like when working with parents and families, just like don't react. Like, I know right. it bothers you. I know you don't want. I had one parent that all of their Christmas that they collected that was like their mom's and like, you know, like ornaments and all of the things that they had, and they were just so heartbroken about it. And I'm just like, okay, but just right now, like
don't react,
don't respond now.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and I have to do a lot of that with, especially with teenagers, you know, I mean, I work, they come at me sideways, left and right. They really do. And I know what I choose, though. That's the whole thing is I know who I'm choosing to work with. I know the difficulty of what I am doing. And I never expect people to understand. But I'll tell you, guess what? When somebody tries to come at you sideways outside the picture, I will defend my kid 100%. I don't care if they're in the wrong or right or whatever. We'll discuss that later, but you have no say so in this. And that, I think, is also what helped me in a lot of relationships with my kids because they never had anybody stick up for them. So when you do, they're like, wait, what? And a lot of this has to do like with school, like taking them in school. They need an IEP. They need a 504. Actually spending time with them at the doctor's. I didn't realize how many foster parents drop their kid off at the doctor's appointment. No, go with them. Go in. You think they know what's going to happen?
Right.
No, come
Or even how
on.
to help answer some of those questions too,
Since.
like just like
Exactly. I know
yeah.
everything about the girls. I know everything about the guys. So like
Yeah.
whatever we do. And having like even that, the whole like, working with teens, needing to be about like intercourse and safe stuff and saying yes. And then you could say yes. And then you could say no and you can change that. And it's okay. And you gotta know your standard and you gotta know these things because a lot of our kids that come back from a background that it was never a safe thing. And so we got to be real with them about it. And we got to create that. I mean, I had a few of my girls, I never thought they would even understand how to even create a relationship with a man. And then now they got boyfriends and they've been with them for long periods of times. They know, understand the relationship. But I think it had to be because I had to show them that part. And I got to teach them that experience and not that horrible experience through it.
No, I think that's great that you could teach like positive relationships too. And just, and I think all kids, especially teenagers, just like learning like their boundaries and how to self-advocate and like finding out what their wants and because they're really discovering themselves. So it's such a crucial
Absolutely.
time. You kind of learning what their wants and needs are because they really may not know anyways. And plus, if they're not in a stable environment or have a safe place, like how are they going to learn? So it's great that you
Absolutely.
have that safe space for them.
And you have to when you're doing this, when you're doing that, and you could choose, right? Because so the, as a foster parent, when you're doing this, you're going to get a file on this kid. You could choose. You're going to be able to see what they're like up front. Now, granted, the county's going to make them sound good. County's going to say, oh, yeah, this child is amazing. They go to
I'm
school. They
sure.
have no
I'm sure.
problems. There's nothing. There's all this. And then when they walk in your home after the honeymoon phase, then you're like, wait, where was all that in that paperwork? Well, they known about it. They ain't going to tell you about it. It does a disservice for both sides, though, in reality, right? Because if you don't have a home who knows how to handle that type of behavior, then you're going to have another person give up on another kid. So know your limits. If that's one thing I can say is know your limits. But when you choose to do this, know that you're choosing for a long haul. You're not choosing for because you want to be picky about which kid you want, which one's the best kid, which one you want for this. This one's better for me. This no, you're going to get it. What you can do is you can teach them and train them and mold them into a specific, like with different directions and everything you provide. Eventually they might be there. But a lot of things that we do for our kids now, we don't ever see that until later on in their life. It's all these lessons that it'll click back. Oh, now I know what that means. Oh, hey, I remember this. Oh, but it's always things that we're preparing for their future.
Right. And that frontal lobe too during that time isn't even fully developed too.
Not even. What, 25, 26? Maybe. We need to push it to 30.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even sure mine is all the time either. I'm like, oh, okay, I remember that lesson. Yep. So, but I think that is absolutely fantastic what you're doing. And I could just tell, like you, I think that if I was in Colorado, like you and I would be sitting down having some coffee or something.
Let's do it. Come visit. We all good. I love that.
So that's some self-care. So what are your hopes for the future of children that you fostered, and how do you plan to continue to support their growth?
My main thought and always process is to meet them where they're at.
Okay. Yeah.
Meet them where they're at. I have no expectations for them because you want to know what? We all can have an expectation of where we want to be. And that goal is good for them. For myself is to be, say, when they fall or when things didn't work out right. But I want to meet them always where they're at because sometimes that's all they can give. And that's all they can allow to have happen. I don't mean to take that in the reverse way because we're talking about achievements, but really, no matter where they're
It's
at,
hard
that
to
is
get
an
it.
achievement. That is from far further from when they where they ever became where they ever came from. So it's meeting where they're at and say, hey, I'm right here. It's like being able to just allow them to grab that arm and just like lift them up. Hey, I got you still. Grabbing that hand down, saying, hey, I'm still here with you. What's next? Let's fly through it.
I love it. And I love that you're that extra support for them that they need. But you're right about kind of where they are, because like if where you are, like we kind of just talked about, like the poop smearing or like breaking, glasses, like guess what? They're not breaking anywhere. Now they're
They're not
drinking
breaking that
my
anymore.
mug, and they're not, I trust them not to, break my mugs anymore. That's a big step. That's huge.
Huge.
So any step, any it's all progress. So I think that's really amazing, like everything you're doing. Like I feel like you're like a colleague or like you have so much knowledge on behavior without being a behavior analyst. So but I love it.
Well, I really, I always thought about this. It's so funny. A lot of people want you to have like this education behind you, but I don't think there's anything better than experienced education in your own personal life that you can be able to talk and about these experiences and everything as a whole and really come from reality. Like a lot of the times they try to like, we don't realize how to take things back to basic. We got a basic reality. This is this. This is the action. There's the reaction. This is like, we don't have to make it this big, huge aspect of like, oh, that we all these things happening. No, we just pull it down, like bring it down to its simplest level, and then realize, oh, yeah, this is this. Okay, we can move this. That's all it is. But we always like to make things bigger than what they really are. I don't know why we do that.
No, that's absolutely true. So, and I love, sometimes, experience is better. Education is important, but it's sometimes the experience is better. So like the experience is like what
Yeah.
you need, if you're fresh out of college, that's great. Like you have some knowledge, but like until you apply it, you really don't know.
Absolutely. Wait till you see what happens and
Yep.
what's going to come around. And you're like,
Just
how do
wait.
I handle that? Well,
You'll
the
find
first
out if
off
this is
thing
for
is
you or
don't have
not.
a facial reaction.
Right.
Poker face. Get your poker face going, y'all. Seriously.
Yep.
But no, but then it's also saying, hey, how did that feel? What did that feel like? How did, was that, did that make you feel good? Or like, what was it? And then create that environment so that they can feel approached and be approachable and could approach you. So I don't know. I just thought I could talk about this for hours and hours, but
No,
yeah.
I love this. Like I would totally absolutely love to do another episode with you at some point, because I think you're sharing such great insight, like just in general on parenting, raising kids, but also on top of that, you're a foster kid of teenagers.
Yes.
So, and I love it. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your experience today. It's been a pleasure having you. And if you like this episode, listeners, make sure that you like and subscribe and leave us a review.
Thank you guys. I appreciate you guys. If you guys want anything from me, I'm on TikTok, social media, I'm Foster Dad on a Mission. And I appreciate this honor, Ellie. This was a spectacular aspect. I also have my shared life experience also on my TikTok. So come
Which is one
and
of the
give a
things I
follow.
loved about you when I found you. I was like, oh, I would love to have him on my podcast.
Well, Ali, you're amazing. I thank you for branching out in this perspective so that we can make more awareness of this. This is huge. This is important. And it's going to help educate not just foster parents, but parents in general. But we just got to hopefully hope that parents are willing to listen and heed what is available, what is out there, and how we communicate and how we can uplift each other all the way through.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.